Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Lots to get to here today. We are going to break down Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. That series knotted up at 2 games apiece. We have some NBA props and, of course, a pick or two from that game. We'll have a little bit of a preview of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning. They got it done again. 4 straight W's, and the Lightning are back in the Stanley Cup Finals. The first team to go back to the Finals 3 straight years since the Edmonton Oilers, 83-85. We also seen the Islanders do it. The Flyers have done it. The Habs have done it several times, but those are the last few teams to do it. It is rare. It is special. I don't know if the Lightning can get it done again. We'll dive into some early Conn Smythe odds. Mean Streets won't be available on Game Plus this week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but we will have Dangle Batselli tomorrow, myself and the Eric Young. We're going to break down that entire series. We'll take a look at some series props. We'll also take a look at Game 1. The series overall, Colorado is favored to win the series at minus 180. You would think the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, would be maybe close to being favored. Just a little close, right? I mean, they've won back-to-back cups. Everybody continues to just kind of, nah, they're not going to do it again. No way. They were down 2-0 in Game 3 on home ice. When they were down 2-0, everybody was writing them off, and then they reeled off 4 straight wins, and it looks like Braden Point is close to returning. We could see Nazem Kadri in the Stanley Cup Finals as well as he recovers from thumb surgery, but how effective is Kadri going to be coming off that thumb surgery? It's only like a couple weeks by the time he suffered that injury and by the time the puck will drop on Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals on Wednesday. So we'll dive into that in just a little bit towards the end of the show. But as I said, no show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but Dangle Batselli will be live on Tuesday. Tomorrow, Game Plus Network at 5 Eastern, we'll break down Game 1, and then we'll be with you on Thursday. We'll recap Game 1 from Wednesday and take a look at Game 2. Which will be getting underway. I do believe it's Saturday. There's a bit of a break. I think it's Wednesday, Saturday, and then back into Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday, I do believe. We won't get ahead of ourselves just a little bit, but the Avs are favored, so we will have a lot of hockey content. And of course, with no Mean Streets on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I will definitely have prop videos up on our YouTube page. If you're hanging out on Game Plus Network, a friendly reminder that this show is live at 12 Eastern over at FTN Network, our YouTube page. Also, other great shows available for there, and a couple new ones that I'm really, really excited about sharing with you guys very soon. We're going to have an MLB show. We're going to have a Prize Picks show, and football is right around the corner. So we got some exciting stuff happening over at FTN Network YouTube page. So head on over there. If you're watching live here with me, smash a like button. Any comments, any questions, you can leave them there, especially if you have any golf questions, because we have the GOAT on the show today. Pat Mayo is joining me. Of course, you are very familiar with Pat Mayo. If you follow my work, you know all about Pat Mayo. If you check me out on Game Plus Network, you also are aware of the Pat Mayo Experience, which is on after Mean Streets at 3 Eastern, Game Plus Network, part of Anthem Sports and Entertainment, Mayo Media Network. Pat Mayo is going to drop in. We're going to preview the 2022 U.S. Open. We'll talk some picks, some DraftKings picks, get some thoughts on the RBC Open. Congratulations, the Canadian Open. Rory McIlroy, back-to-back wins. There was no Canadian Open in 2021 or 2020 because of COVID, but Rory's got 2 straight W's, his 21st PGA Tour victory, and he made it known. He was well aware of how many wins Greg Norman had on the PGA Tour, which was 20. And of course, he is the head of the LIV Golf, which we saw over the weekend, a 54-hole event. Charles Schwartzel took it down, the 2011 Masters champion. What a big prize. I mean, $4.75 million. He won $4 million, which is the richest golf tournament of all time. We got to get Pat's thoughts on the LIV tournament. I'm excited. I don't know, actually, where he's at. Is it good for golf? Is it bad for golf? How long will it last? Like, how many more players from the PGA Tour are going to head on over? But I tell you what, if you watched yesterday, first of all, St. George's golf course was spectacular, in great shape. It looked absolutely awesome. And the final day was great as well. I mean, we had a little bit of Tony Finau in there, Justin Thomas, Justin Rose had a really good Sunday, and Rory had a phenomenal, phenomenal Sunday, and he got it done yesterday. So, I mean, it was super exciting, right? It was a big week for golf. Shout out Brooke Henderson. Canadian took down the LPGA tournament, her 11th victory on the LPGA Tour, so she got it done as well. But look, it's an exciting week for golf, but again, I got some stuff here for Schwartzel, because it's like, you have to write it down, because it's just, you just never seen stuff like this before. So the richest golf tournament in history, I mentioned. He had the one-shot victory in London. He took down $4 million, but then he also took down another $750K. It's part of his share for the purse earned by his four-man Stinger team for topping the team rankings over the weekend. I'm not going to lie, I didn't really see anything of the tournament. I did a lot of research and just reading some of the things, you know, shotgun starts, colorful leaderboard. I think one of the chairmen said over the weekend, if anybody, you know, has a minus 18 in one round, he would dish out $54 million. I mean, here you go. Money all over the place. The latest to go over there, Patrick Reed on Saturday. Bryson didn't make his debut, but he is over there. And like still probably a few more names will filter on over there in the LIV golf world. But we'll get Pat's thoughts on that. But mostly going to talk about the 2022 U.S. Open happening this weekend. Gets underway on Thursday in Massachusetts. So we'll dive into that in a little bit with Pat Mayo. As I mentioned, we'll get into some NBA. We'll get into some NHL. And I have some MLB props for you as well. It's the Bluebirds up against the Baltimore Orioles today. We're going to pick on Kyle Bradish just a little bit. Young rookie pitcher. He's got some upside, but he's given up a home run in every one of his starts. And speaking of a rookie, we're going to talk a little bit about Zach Thompson as well, former first-round pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, making his MLB debut as a starter. He did pitch out of the pen earlier in the month. He had a decent showing against the Cubs. I think he tossed 74 pitches. He's making his debut tonight, his first start today against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And what is pretty much a dream matchup for the kid, right? Going up against a Pirates team who, I mean, they're just not very good at the game of baseball these days. And they strike out a lot against southpaws and lefties, which Thompson is. So we'll talk about that. And I got a couple other Prize Picks plays for you as well. And we're going to continue our NFL team previews today. We're going to wrap up the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks. We save them for last because they have the lowest win total of the 2022 NFL season at 5.5. Life without Russell Wilson begins. Also, Bobby Wagner. These guys were drafted together in the draft. This is the first year in over 10 years. You know, no Russ under center, no Wagner kind of calling the shots, leading the defense. As he moved over to the division rival, Los Angeles Rams, Super Bowl defending Super Bowl champs, just got better, really. They lost some pieces, but they got better, right? And we talked about them last week, the day before Aaron Donald signed a big contract, and then Cooper Kupp re-upped on Friday as well. So I don't want to say the band is fully back together, but the key pieces are back together for the Los Angeles Rams. But we'll dive into the Seahawks. Do you really want a piece of anything to do with their offense? They're going to be a bottom five team offensively. They're not going to win a whole lot of games. The quarterback play between Drew Locke or Geno Smith, not going to be great. It's not great news for DK Metcalf, who's on the final year of his deal and is not really in camp, right? Because he's kind of holding out right now. And speaking of holdouts, Terry McLaurin, I read this morning, also not going to attend camp as well. You know, clearly that's bad news for the Washington Commanders. He wants a new contract. There's just been a lot of bad quarterback play in Washington since he's been a part of the team. Carson Wentz is Washington's 12th quarterback since 2017 when they had Kirk Cousins. 12 quarterbacks in like 4.5 years? Are you kidding me? It's wild. So I think it's bad news for Carson Wentz. You want Wentz to be able to build a rapport with his number one weapon in Terry McLaurin. This is time apart from each other. This is it for Carson Wentz. This is his last go. Let's be honest. Frank Reich took a shot on him, was very familiar with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. They won a Super Bowl together. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of Carson Wentz in the playoffs. It was Nick Foles, but it was Carson Wentz leading up to the playoffs. And he was well on his way to earning at least some MVP votes. I think we can agree. Like he blew out his knee, I think, in week 15 against the Rams. He was atop the NFL MVP. I mean, he was favored to win the award, and he probably would have been. I still think he got a couple votes, even not finishing out the season. But Reich couldn't figure it out with Wentz in Indy and cut ties with him right away. So I believe this is Wentz's last go in Washington. And speaking of football, Aaron Rodgers, we do have a stat here. We got a couple Twitter accounts as well, FTN Network, FTN Daily, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy. We're always tweeting out stats of the day. So there's a little, just a small one, right? Aaron Rodgers in 7 games without Devontae Adams since 2019. Those are pretty good numbers, right? 24 fantasy points, 293 passing yards, 2.7 passing touchdowns per game. Not bad, right? I mean, it's not a huge sample size. Former MVP, reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers is going as quarterback 12 in NFFC high stakes leagues over the last 6 weeks of just to date, June 13th here with you. So since the start of May, he's going as quarterback 12, ADP 87, Hurts, Stafford, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Carr, Lance, Cousins. That's been the order over the last 6 weeks. Not totally interested in Aaron Rodgers. I'm just not. Not going to lie. I think they're going to run the football a lot in Green Bay. They're going to rely on the defense. It's going to be a 1-2 punch with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. How early is too early for Alan Lazard? Maybe a question for just a little bit later on. I'll take a look at his ADP. I think, honestly, like, I think I'd 8th round, 9th round, I feel comfortable, but you may have to reach this a little bit. You know, Christian Watson's there in the squad. I think the guy to get in Green Bay is Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has the capability of catching 60 plus balls out of the backfield. I know it's going to be a 1-2 punch and Dillon's going to get his touches and inside the red zone, it may be a whole lot of, you know, AJ Dillon, but Jones has a knack for the end zone, a nose for the end zone, and he's a great, great pass catcher as well. I've gotten 11 minutes here off the top. We got Mayo hanging by. We'll do some NBA stuff here up the next block and then we'll bring in Pat Mayo. Keeper locked. Lots more to get to here on Mean Streets. Welcome back. You've been Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. I get a little excited there. I know Mayo is hanging by. We'll do the NBA props here, and then we'll dive into Mayo here in this next block and get to why you're here, right? A little bit of golf action here. Alan Lazard, isn't Alan Lazard holding out? Anthony Bolster in the house, Adam Rankamp as well. I mean, I want no piece of Alan Lazard. I just looked. He's going as wide receiver 50. 124 is the ADP. I think I took him in a best ball draft towards the end, middle parts of the best ball draft. I said round 8. I mean, even that is a little early here to 12 man setting, but I'm not interested really. I think he can rack up a couple touchdowns, but I'm just totally not really interested. Wide receiver 50 is an okay price though. You get him as your wide receiver 4 or 5, I think you're in okay spot. NBA stuff here before we bring in Mayo. It is game 5 tonight. NBA finals shifts to Golden State. The Warriors even the series up at 2 games apiece in the last game, and we finally saw an exciting game. You know, it really came down to the wire. There was you know, within a bucket really, which is something that we just haven't seen a whole lot in the NBA playoffs and here in the NBA finals. So the Warriors checking in as 3.5-point favorites, minus 160 there. Celtics at plus 140. The series has kind of gone how I thought it would go. You know, just back and forth, trading punches. I do expect the Warriors to win today on home court. I like them. I like the 3.5. I know the money line is a little bit juiced at minus 160, but I do believe that they win this game. And then if it plays out that way, I will be on the Celtics to win game 6 and push 7. Had Warriors in 7. I feel like this is a trend that I'm going to continue to attack here. It's been really bounce back performances from both squads all year. So I guess if you are following trends, you would be on the Boston Celtics today because it's been win, loss, and the Warriors are perfect after a loss as well. But they won game 4. It's been a whole lot of Steph Curry. I'm shying away from Steph Curry today. I don't mind his point prop at 30.5. We've been riding the 4.5 threes. It's now at 5.5. I have no problem if you want to ride Steph Curry. I mean, 41 points, 31, 29, and 34 points. He had the 29 points in the blowout win. He only played 32 minutes in game 2, but he has jacked at least 11 shots from beyond the arc in all 4 games. He's had at least 5 threes in every game, but he's had at least 6 in 3 of the 4, 7 for 14 and 6 for 11 his last 2 games from beyond the arc. But I'm going with Klay Thompson. You see there over 3.5 threes at plus money. We talked about Klay Thompson after game 2. It was only a matter of time before this guy found his stroke. He's too good of a shooter to just be hitting bricks all the time, right? And what did Steph say? Just continue to shoot, Klay. You're going to find it eventually. And he has found it. 7 for 14 from the floor in the last game. 4 for 10 from beyond the arc. 18 points in game 3. 7 for 17. 5 for 13 from beyond the arc. 25 points. So that's 23 shots from beyond the arc in the last 2 games from Klay. 31 in his last 4. And at least 7 in 4 straight game. So we're asking for 4 threes here from Klay. So I'm going with Klay, and I'm going with a couple other Warriors here because I feel like the Celtics game plan has to be to slow down Steph Curry. Try, by all means, try to slow down Steph Curry, but get some doubles on him. He can't let Steph beat you. He's going to be dishing the rock, and I think he's going to be dishing to other guys. Of course, you don't see a lot of Klay and Poole together, but you do at times. But for Jordan Poole, over 12.5 points, he's cleared this number in 2 of his last 3 games and 6 of his last 8. Actually, don't mind taking the latter. I think he can get to 15, 17 points here today. Andrew Wiggins, over 1.5 threes. He hasn't shot the ball all that well here in the finals, but he doesn't care, man. He continues to jack up shots, at least 2 threes in 3 of the 4 games here in the finals, and at least 7 shots from beyond the arc in 3 of the 4. So his shot is not really falling, but ultimately I do believe he'll probably jack up 5 or 6 threes here today, and I do think we'll see some guys wide open, a Wiggins and a Poole and a Klay, with the attention on Mr. Chef Curry. And then Jaylen Brown, over 2.5 threes. He's averaging 2.8 threes per game in this series on 7.8 attempts. He's only cleared it in 2 of the last 3 and 2 of the 4 games here, but he shot 36% from deep this season, and if he's going to get 8 or 9 attempts from beyond the arc here today, I do like him to hit three. So that one's a little juiced up as well. He's taken Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum over 6+ rebounds tonight on FanDuel for plus 120. Has hit in every game of the series. I like that call, Adam. I also wanted another. I had another one in here. Adam is Marcus Smart. Over 3.5 boards is a little juiced up. You can get over at Prize Picks at 4. And Steph is also at 5 threes over at Prize Picks. So, you know, if you're going the flex play, Hedge Life, 4-for-5, 3-for-4. You know, one of those, you get the push, you still get, you know, earn a bit of a profit. So I still am personally going to bet Steph myself over 5.5 threes. I just feel like I wanted to give my best here today, and I do think there'll be a lot of attention on Curry. This could be his worst game of the finals, and it's not really saying much. Even if he has 28 points, this is his worst game of the finals. But I do like Marcus Smart as well. You talked about a couple Celtic rebounders in there. I think Marcus Smart is in play as well. That's it for the NBA talk. We have a whole lot more over at ftmbets.com. Jill Gallant has an NBA article for you for free to check out over at ftmbets.com as well with his three favorite props in tonight's action. Of course, we have the bet tracker over at ftmbets.com. Lots of goodness over at FTN. And now we're going to break and bring in Mr. Mayo. We're going to talk a lot of golf here in the next segment. Keep her locked. Watching Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany is going to bring in Pat Mayo of Mayo Media Network. You can catch Pat Mayo Experience on Game Plus Network directly after Mean Streets. So hang out here with Pat and myself, and you can watch a little bit more Mayo on Game Plus Network happening at 3 Eastern. Pat, what's up, man?
I like that you know the time of my show, but I have no idea when it's on. That's nice. Thank you.
No problem. I'm not going to lie. I had to check the guide. I know you're on there all the time, you're like sporadic times, but I checked the guide this morning. I'm like, oh, Pat, right after Mean Streets. Perfect. All right, dude, what a week in golf, right? I mean, I don't want to really lead with Liv, but my goodness, like it's so topical right now.
Ask me anything. I'm here to answer your question, sir.
I love it. So we'll get to Liv in a little bit, but my goodness, right? What a crazy week at the Liv, and then, you know, Schwarzer winning like almost $5 million, and then Rory goes back to back in the Canadian Open after, you know, it wasn't around for the past couple of years. Let's kind of start there. What did you think of Rory? What did you think of the Sunday? It was a pretty nice finish, and I know we're not here to talk about how great courses look, but man, I thought, you know, St. George's looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, it looked awesome on TV. It played great as well. And as someone who had a gigantic Rory McIlroy wager, it was nice to be there on Sunday and have the guy who I bet on actually win. That's been happening so rarely so far in 2022. It's been a bad year. So if Rory can complete it this week, so I had the Rory outright for the Canadian Open. Then I parlayed Rory to win last week with Rory to win this week. And that turns a bad season into a very good season right away. So although where he is at now on the betting board as the like prohibitive favorite, I don't like that. I like him. He was the third favorite at the Canadian Open last week, but now he's the favorite at the U.S. Open. Like, they've taken away all the value. He has worse odds this week than he was last week, and everyone good is playing this week.
I know. I found that strange. Even looking yesterday before, you know, the round got underway, the fourth round yesterday, he was, I think I saw some spots like 14, 16. Now I'm seeing, you know, 10-1, as you mentioned, he is the favorite. Producer Tyler in the house, if you want to chuck it up, these are, you know, some DraftKings odds there. Of course, you got the prop shop over at ftmbets.com, parlay calculator. We originally had some odds in here earlier from our guy George Mayo, and they were just kind of all over the place. Not going to lie, I saw our guy Willie Z at 22-1. I'm seeing him in the prop shop. The shortest odds at 25. You can still get him at 30-1. Scheffler was favored in some spots yesterday. You got Rahm in there. Cameron Smith, 18-1. Spieth. Any names here up at the top jump out? Of course, we're not going to jump in on Rory right now, but is there anyone? You and I chatted a couple weeks ago. Like, talk to me about Willie Z. You mentioned it hasn't been great. There's some heartache with this guy, and I just keep going back to him, man.
30-1 for him to win, I think, is a very fair number. The issue becomes once you just start seeing who else is 30-1 or who else is just beyond 30-1, like Morikawa is 30-1 and Will Zalatoris is 30-1. Now, Colin Morikawa has won 2 majors over the past 2.5 years. Will Zalatoris doesn't have a win. So that becomes a question you need to ask yourself. I haven't committed to either one of those two guys, but a Zalatoris top 5 bet, it's like Xander. Like, Xander's never finished worse than 7th in the U.S. Open. I saw on Bet365, he got his odds juiced up to plus 450 to come inside the top 7. That's a more palatable bet for me than him winning it 16-1, whatever it might be. Like, I don't want to go down there. But at the top, I do have a pick, and I'm waiting for a better number because I think it is coming sometime soon. And you kind of hit on it. Last week, Scheffler was 8-1 to win the Canadian Open. He's already down to 14-1. He's 15-1 at some spots. I think that number is going up in our favor at some point. I'm going to bet Scottie Scheffler to win the U.S. Open. I think by the end of the week, whether it's through a boost or just natural drift, that we're going to see an 18, maybe even a 20, because he's old news at this point. You know, he's won four times this year. Don't worry about him. Rory, Justin Thomas, they're the guys that you need to be on. John Rahm is just playing so well right now under the radar. Everyone's like, oh, everyone hates John Rahm. It's like, no, once we look at the betting slips this week, people are betting on the reigning U.S. Open champion. Scheffler is the one that's flying down the list. So I like Scheffler at the top.
I like it. Yeah, 14-1 I'm seeing right now on DK, BetMGM, 14-1 as well. Like you said, maybe when we get closer to Thursday, as other people are just continuing to hammer Rory again, maybe we'll get a little bit of a better number there. Is there anybody else like kind of like digging deeper that you take a couple long shots on?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You don't want to go too crazy down the board at the U.S. Open. Gary Woodland winning at Pebble Beach. He hit at 80-1. That's what he was week of. And that is such an outlier in terms of people who have won at the U.S. Open. Just, it's a who's who. Like, the best players win this event. Generally, the best drivers of the golf ball win this event. Rahm, DJ, Brooks. Who else am I missing in here? Someone else is in that.
Finau? Finau's got a big bomb, but he can't putt, man. I always feel for him.
Who are you, Feinberg? You want to bet Tony Finau at 30-1 at a major?
I definitely don't, but I know that he can hit it off the tee. That I know.
I grabbed Lowry 40-1 this morning with eight placings to go along with it. I think that Lowry sets up perfectly for the U.S. Open. I know he's an Open champion, but I do really think that the USGA setup that we see at this major really fits his skill set really well. He's long, he's accurate, he is an immaculate scrambler, kind of like Tony Finau. He can't really putt. These are very small greens, so you're not going to get a lot of three putts from anyone this week. It's just getting it on the green. That's really the key point. You can two putt once you're on the green. That's fine. Lowry's having the best season of any player right now who hasn't won yet. He is a major champion. He won at Bridgestone, so he's won a WGC. He's won a race to Dubai. He's won all of the big things that you can win worldwide in terms of top-tier talent tournaments. And obviously, this is probably the deepest and strongest one that there is. So I really like Shane Lowry a lot. I'm in on him at 40-1. I took Sung Jae Im at 66-1 2 weeks ago. That was nice. The only future that I had on the board. You can still get him at 50. Of note, the most Andrew Kirst player of the week. So that's that's not good news.
And his birthday today, correct?
It is this correct. You can go wish at Tim Anderson 87 a very happy birthday. One I will give you, though, it's 80-1 right now. I don't feel great about it, and I probably wouldn't want to play it without a top five or a top eight or a top 10. Keegan Bradley's 80-1. He's from the Northeast. He has played very well at Northeast courses, and he is playing some fantastic golf at the moment.
He is.
Because you really want, like, I'm really going to keep hitting back on, you need guys that can drive the ball. You don't need to be the longest player, but you need to have above average distance and you need to be somewhat accurate. You can't be weirdly deficient in one of those two areas. That's kind of why I'm writing off Cam Smith and Justin Thomas here. Not that they can't win, but their degree of difficulty for what they normally do is so much higher because they can both bomb the ball, but they have no idea where it's going. That's an issue with someone like Sungjae and then someone like Keegan. Like, Keegan's long and he's accurate. Daniel Berger is, you can find him at 60-1 at some place. He's like 35-1 at some books. He's 60-1 at some books. The 60 is the good number you want to take, but he's so accurate. Two top tens at his past four U.S. Opens, his best approach week of the year at Memorial, started to chip a little bit better. He's putting well finally, and you know that he's just not going to put himself in those horrible circumstances that you see a lot of the really big hitters have. And with the way that it looks like at the country club right now, with like 4.5-inch rough, and it's not like Wingfoot where you can kind of gouge it out, have it roll up onto the green. No, this is protected by water, thick rough, and bunkers. There's no rolling it up to the green. You need to come in with some height to drop it down on these tiny greens in order to get it to stick. And Berger just keeps it in the fairway. I mean, Morikawa is the play, but he's also,
I know,
and he's
I really like Morikawa. I really do like him overall as a player. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned his curse. You know, the Tim Anderson thing is hilarious. It's not near that level here on Mean Streets, but our guy George, like, he puts players on thumbnails, and sometimes he puts players he doesn't like. Like, he chucked Brooks on this show thumbnail, and you mentioned Koepka a little bit. I'm seeing at 45-1 in some spots. Like,
you can get a boost, that's not a right bad now number, on Brooks to 66-1, and still no one wants it.
Why? Because just his game's nowhere near what he was a few years ago, I guess.
His game has just been piss poor over the past few months.
Like, what do you think's going on with him?
I don't know. He's got. I think he got married. That helps, or he's getting
that'll
married.
Do it.
Yeah,
that'll
that always it. Throws you off.
Some DraftKings plays. Anybody else apart from some players that you threw at us? Maybe you got a cheap guy that you're willing to punt on.
If you need to punt, Harry Hall is $6,400 on DraftKings. He just won on the Corn Ferry Tour. He was fifth the week before that. He is just one of these guys at the bottom of the field. And you usually see this. Like, you saw it with Sungjae at Shinnecock. You saw it with Will Zalatoris at Wingfoot. These guys who are just great ball strikers on the Corn Ferry Tour, they can have success at the U.S. Open. Maybe not to win, but to come inside the top 15 or something like that. I think your best bet is probably Harry Hall at $6,400. And if you want to take Scheffler, or, I mean, Matthew Fitzpatrick is going to be a very popular play this week. Xander Schauffele, for DraftKings-wise, very popular. Mm-hmm. Sungjae. Like, you can only fit so many of these guys on your team. If you do use Harry Hall, then you do have access to the very top of the board as well. So I think that he's a nice, you know, final piece in, if you want to risk it, because most people are not going to go the stars and scrubs type method at the U.S. Open. They're going to start with Xander Schauffele and work their way down, because you don't feel bad when you see the sixth player in your lineup. But you got to beat 200,000 people in order to win the $1 million. You got to go crazy somewhere. That's where I'm going crazy.
Do you play any cash in golf, or is it just you play tournaments?
I play cash.
Like, does anybody play any cash in golf? Like, I see the tournaments available, but
yeah, they're available. They say that they have people in them. I will. Yeah. I'm not playing DraftKings to double my money. I'm playing to win $1 million or lose it all. That's what I'm up to.
I love it. Yeah, I love the motto. All right, speaking of $1 million, and, you know, I got to ask you about Liv, man. Are you kidding me? Like, one-shot victory here. George put this together of, like, the stinger team. So, one-shot victory in London for Charles, a 2011 Masters winner. $4 million, then another $750,000 for his share of the purse earned by the four-man stinger team for topping the rankings. This is more money than he had in the last 4 years combined. I did some reading, of course. You know, it's just shotgun starts and colorful leaderboards, and one of the guys on the head said, you know, if anyone gets minus 18 in a tournament, he'll be dishing out $54 million. Like, just bucks flying around left, right, and center. What do you think? Like, are you pro Liv? Are you against it? Like, what's your thoughts on this?
I am pro Liv in the fact that I think it's going to push the PGA Tour to be better. So all of the things that I don't like about the PGA Tour, mainly related to the broadcast of the PGA Tour, now that you have some competition, quote unquote competition, it's not really competition. People aren't tuning out of the PGA Tour to watch the LIV Tour. That's not happening.
Right.
So, yeah. But maybe they get a bit of a groundswell, something kind of happens. And then the PGA is like, oh, maybe we should show guys actually shoot shots and not weird package stuff for 90-year-olds. Like, that would be great. Give us gamblers a place where we can actually watch the players that we bet on. How nice would that be? But they're just nowhere near that at the moment. I don't begrudge the guys for going over. People are going to have their moral stance on it either way. Are you good with guys going secure in the bag, setting their great-great-great-grandkids up for the rest of their lives? Or are you so morally opposed to where this money comes from that, you know, you're going to take your stance and you're going to say, screw this? I almost got you in trouble on a live TV.
But you're good. It's all good, man. I was expecting maybe one, but
it's not the Pat Mayo experience where swearing constantly goes on and the editors have to go beep that out when it comes on Game Plus TV. But for me, like, it's just another golf league. Like, I was betting on marble races at the beginning of COVID. Like, if it's something I can bet on, I'm probably going to watch it and I'm probably going to bet on it. I watched the broadcast. I thought the broadcast was really good. The leaderboard
That's what
was,
I hear.
The live leaderboard they have on the screen is atrocious. And where it is a shotgun start and everyone's on the course at the same time, there's very little context to where people are on the course. They need to find a way to solve that. But it's week one of a brand new golf tour. I actually thought that the coverage was pretty good.
I agree with a lot of the things that you said. I think it's good for the game, right? I mean, there's some players that are moving over there. And some people, like a couple of my buddies said, oh, you know, RIP, you know, the PGA Tour. Like, I just don't think that's not true. You're still going to have, like, the marquee guys, like, clearly Rory, right? I mean, Rory talked about 21st victory, more than Greg Norman. Like, he's definitely got, like, a chip on his shoulder. And then, you know, Justin Thomas is still there and some other guys. Tiger obviously turning down, like, $900 million to go over there, things like that. Because he's chasing down, I think, some of those records that he feels like maybe he could eventually get to, but I think it's good for the game. Like, ultimately, I think this is good for the game. It creates a little bit of a rivalry. And like you said, maybe the broadcast will be able to figure it out. Man, Nance seemed a little bitter. I watched a little bit of him. Like, he had things to say on the broadcast on Sunday.
Of course, but anytime you have the PGA partner and they're doing the broadcast live, they came in and gave the commissioner, it's like, here are the three worst things about Liv. Can you talk about them? Like, that's what your partner is going to do for you. And that's a part of the, you know, the bond that CBS has with the PGA Tour. That's why they've been broadcast partners for so long. But what happens this week if Dustin wins, or Louis wins, or Bryson wins, or Reed wins? Or the number one thing that could happen at the U.S. Open is if somehow Phil Mickelson won, because then it would just be a gong show in the media. It'd be great.
Would be good. Yeah, DJ, more money over there than what Tiger made on the tour in his whole career. It is crazy to wrap your head around with all of it. And the next tournament will be June 30th. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'm sure you'll be talking about it over at Mayo Media Network. Everybody, that I said this earlier, Pat, I'm not even kidding, man. Like, you've done so much for my career and I appreciate it. Everybody that follows me follows you. But why don't you take the time to tell everyone where they can check out your work this week? I know that you already have a ton of videos around the U.S. Open, DraftKings plays, you know, tournament stuff. But take a second to tell people where they can check you out and what you got coming up this week.
Well, I appreciate that. And I couldn't have helped you at all in your career if you were crappy. So I almost did it again. See, this is why you're more of a pro than me. This is why I back you and not so much me. Pat Mayo Experience is on after Mean Streets on Game Plus. So please stay tuned to that. Let's get those ratings up. If not, you can watch the complete uncensored versions up on the Mayo Media Network YouTube page. I just released a show about 20 minutes ago with myself, Feinberg, and Cust. That is up now. So you can find out who the bets are and who the plays are and who the most cursed are. It's not just Sungjae. It's not just Morikawa. There are more. And guys, he said, that cannot win this week. Those are usually good bets to go with. Pat Mayo Experience audio podcast, Spotify, Apple. I am, so far, we're up to like $900 in giveaways this week. If you tune into the show, you can figure out how to do that. You can sub to the newsletter. That's how you do it. Sub to the YouTube channel. That's how you do it. Rate and review the podcast and subscribe. That gets you all ballots in, but mainly just follow me on Twitter at ThePME, and you'll be able to find all of the content up there right now. We're three shows deep. I got two more to go, including a live chat noon Eastern on Wednesday on Mayo Media Network. So if you have questions about the U.S. Open, you can hit me up. Or actually, my guest, Tyler Tambellini, who wins like 100K every 3 weeks.
I saw that. Wow.
That's probably who you want to ask.
Yeah, congrats to him. It's funny. I actually reached out to him late before that weekend to see if he wanted to jump on. He said he would, and he said he would do it in the future, but everything was just so busy. It was my bad. It was so late. And then he ended up winning all that. I was like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. Definitely want to have you on. Now, we have a link inside the description of this video bringing you over to the Mayo Media Network, so make sure you're subscribed to that. I see you got some football stuff on there as well. On the way out, I know you cover the Bills. Well, you don't cover the Bills. I mean, you follow them closely. This feels a little weird, right, heading into the NFL season where the Bills are the Super Bowl favorites. I mean, that has never happened in our lifetime.
It's impossible to call anyone in the AFC a favorite at this point.
You're right.
There's nine teams that could possibly win at this point. Like, there's the margins are razor thin. I would say that the Bills are in the best position right now, but if, I don't know, what if Tua is like, all right, couldn't the Dolphins be good?
I agree. I think people are too hard on Tua. Like, he's an accurate quarterback, and now he's surrounded around playmakers and a new offensive, you know, mind that kind of hung out with Kyle Shanahan for years. So I think that people are a little too hard on Tua. I really do, man. I mean, Justin Herbert's definitely better than Tua, but Tua still has a lot.
But that's not the argument anymore. The argument is now just like people are, you know, Tua's garbage. It's like, he's not garbage.
He's not garbage.
He's better than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure you remind Tim of that every day.
I do. Like, is Tua markably worse than Mac Jones? Like, Tua could have a much better year than Mac Jones. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, they're close.
And it's so funny to have people write him off, where a couple years ago it was just like tank for Tua, tank for Tua, tank for Tua. Like, everybody loved Tua, and now we've seen him for a little bit with like no weapons, and now they bring in Tyreek Hill. I got a second year of Waddle. I mean, I agree, man. Like, Miami is going to be – it's so tough, the conference. You mentioned nine teams. There's a lot of really good teams, but I think – most of the teams inside the division are on the rise, with the Jets still on the bottom. Sorry,
sure, Anderson. But when we're talking about like Super Bowl favorite odds, like the NFC, the good NFC team should be favored to win the Super Bowl just because their path is easier to get to the Super Bowl.
I agree. We talked about the Rams last week on the show. They're like still 12-1, 14-1 in some spots. They have a terrific path. And then even the Bucks, like those two teams are a lock to make the playoffs, like a lock to make the playoffs, and one of them are going to get a bye, and the other ones are going to have home field until they get to the conference championship. So that's where my money would be on the NFC as well. Pat, appreciate it, man. At the PME, you got something else there?
Yeah, what are the Packers?
Let's see. Live on the
fly. Because I feel like just losing Adam sucks, obviously. But they're going to win their division. Their division
12-1. 12-1. Going to win their division. Going to host a game at Lambeau, right? Those are just things you know. The division is absolutely awful. And they'll just run the rock all year and rely on their defense. They'll win another 12 or 13 games, right? I kind of crapped on Rodgers in the first block that I don't want him. But like, he's going to fall to quarterback 14 or 15. I mean, he's going to be okay. He'll probably throw two touchdowns.
Listen, it's no longer about fantasy potential with him. It's just, is he a real-life good quarterback? Yeah, he's one of the five best quarterbacks on the planet that you would want in a game. He suffers from the same thing that Rory suffers from in golf, is that he's close so often, is that you remember him losing in big spots. He would be better off if the Packers missed the playoffs for seven straight years instead of losing in the NFC Championship game. Because people are like, oh, Rodgers blows it. He can't win. Yeah. It's like, oh, it'd be much preferable if he didn't make the playoffs. Like, what are we talking about? It's like Rory comes in second four times in a row. It's like, wow, Rory sucks. It's like, he was just in second. You know how hard it is to win a golf tournament?
Yeah, really tough. Man, if he gets it done again, wow. Because I saw the picture that you posted earlier, like Rory in tournaments and Rory in majors. Go check out at PME. I thought that was hilarious. Dude, appreciate your time. We got to bounce. Again, Mayo Media Network, links inside the description of this video. Check out Pat, fantastic stuff. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Seattle Seahawks. Pat, you don't want to stick around for that. They got a 5.5 win total. Yikes. More to get to here on Mean Streets. Keep her hooked. Welcome back, and we're going to save the Seahawks because there's nothing really all that exciting about the Seattle Seahawks. We'll save them for the final block. We got NHL in the next block here as well. Shout out to Mayo, man. He's fantastic. I love chopping it up with Pat. Again, his show, Pat Mayo Experience, is right after Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. I always say, great lineup, right? 1-2 punch, not bad. All in football, fantasy footballers over there as well. So let's talk a little baseball here with you in this block. I got three props here. They're over at Prize Picks. You can find these as well over in our FTN Bet Tracker. You can find these over at FTNBets.com. Free prop shop, parlay calculator, get the best possible odds. Want to give a little bit of love to Prize Picks. Promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. You can take all three of these. You can take two of the three in a flex play. Still earn a profit if two of the three hit. Let's start with Zach Thompson. Thompson, his strikeout prop is at 4. 19th overall pick of the St. Louis Cardinals in the first round in 2019. So I mentioned earlier that this is his first big league start. He had 4 innings on June 3rd out of the pen. He only struck out 3 against the Cubs, but he tossed 74 pitches, and that's key for me, 74 pitches. He's got a matchup against the Pittsburgh Pirates here today, and the Pirates against lefties, they have a 25% strikeout rate. It's the third highest mark in baseball. I think Zach Thompson, I just don't know if books really are, I feel like they're unaware of what they really want to like hammer down with him. 3.5, I'm seeing juiced up in some spots. 4.5 plus money in some spots. You take the 4 over at Prize Picks. If you want to play over at PrizePicks.com, it's a simple over or under on a player's prop. Obviously, you see, I don't love overs or unders. I love overs. So I'm going with the over here. 44 AAA innings this season. 56 strikeouts for Thompson, 11.37 K per 9. And it's not like the Pirates have a lot of power. They don't walk a whole lot. Thompson had some struggles in the minors with some walks and commands that may, the command may catch up to him. But I believe that this is the first of many starts inside the rotation. Obviously, long term. But this year as well, I think he could stick inside the rotation. A good spot for him. 56 punchouts and 44 AAA innings this season. We just need 5K here today. And then Christian Javier over 5.5 strikeouts against Texas. He faced Texas not that long ago. 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts. This is his third start against the Rangers this year. He has 13 punchouts in 11 innings against Texas. He hasn't hit this number in his last two starts, the 5.5, but his last start, he got roughed around a little bit against Seattle, and the one before that, he struggled with command. Overall, a solid 3.22 ERA. 11K per 9. I think he gets to 6 strikeouts here today. And then Bo Bichette could have taken any Jay. Gave a lot of love to the Jays last week when they were up against a righty. We talked about Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero, and George Springer. And Bo Bichette had a home run and over 1.5 total bases. We had Springer for a run. He scored over 1.5 total bases. We had Vlad for a bomb. He didn't get it. It was Springer and Bo who went yard. But all three of these guys are absolutely in play today against Kyle Bradish, a young pitcher for Baltimore, who I do believe has been a little bit unlucky. You see the ERA, it's at 6.545. His xFIP is at 3.96. 8 starts so far, 44 hits allowed, 27 earned runs, and 10 bombs. At least one home run in each start, 3 homers and 7 walks in his last 2. So his command is not there. You start walking guys against the Bluebirds, and boom, a crooked number already. That's what's going to happen here. And then Bo Bichette, over 1.5 total bases. I think he's in play for a bomb. I think Springer's in play for a run scored. I think he's in play for over 1.5 total bases. I think Vlad's in play for a bomb as well. But Bo's got the team high 58 hits against righties. He's slashing 274, 309, 448. He's got 21 extra base hits against righties, 8 of them home runs. 7 of his 10 home runs of this season have come at home. A better average at home, 272. He's got a 6-game hit streak. He's got hits in 15 of his last 17 games and 4 multi-hit games over his last 5. So he's coming in pretty hot. Those are the props for me. I'm also going to be on the Blue Jays. Alex Manoah is on the bump. I think they went on the run line. And I'm going to like their team total at 5.5 plus money. I'm going to get in on that as well. But take a look at those 3 hitters for the Jays, those righties. As long as, you know, of course, they're in the lineup. Springer, Bo, and then Vlad. That's it for the baseball. Again, we have a free pick tracker over at FTNDaily.com. You can mix and match across all the sports. You can take 1 or 2 of those props with 1 or 2 of the NBA props, and away you go. NHL props on the board as well over at PrizePicks.com for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals, which we'll dive into here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. All right, so the Stanley Cup Finals get underway on Wednesday. This is just a quick little look. Tomorrow, Dangle Bazzelli, we will dive into absolutely everything. I've seen some series props, series points, series goals, this player versus that player, Conn Smythe Awards. We'll get into all of that. I just wanted to kind of bring your attention. Obviously, you guys are well aware. You see the bracket, Colorado and Tampa, the third straight year of the Stanley Cup Finals. The third straight year Tampa's in the Stanley Cup Finals. The third straight year, Corey Perry is in the Stanley Cup Finals, and he's 0 for 2, right? He was in Dallas, lost 2 years ago to the Bolts, in Montreal last year, lost to the Bolts, and now he's on the Bolts, and they're not favored to beat Colorado. We have the series price here, minus 180 for the Avs, plus 155 for Tampa. It does sound like Braden Point and Azem Kadri will both be available. Point may miss a game or two. Kadri also may miss a game or two. I think it's very important to have Braden Point on this squad to give him a little bit more offensive firepower. I'm not sold that the Avs are going to win this. I think that this series is going to go 6 or 7. Would you bet Avs to win the series in 4-3? Yes. I that's kind of where I'm at. Daily Handle, is this series going the distance and giving Colorado the benefit of the doubt in game 7? You know, Tampa's played a lot of hockey over the years. They just get it done at 5-5, and the Avs do as well. It should be fascinating. Like, no team has generated more shot attempts at 5-5 than the Avs. No team has generated fewer, like, against than the Avs. But who have they played? Nashville's pretty decent. The Oilers, they get the 1-2 punch, right? Draisaitl was, like, not 100%. Don't underestimate what Victor Hedman can do and what he has done over the past couple years. I think about Hedman when they played the Hawks a few years ago, and Patrick Kane called him the best defensive defenseman in the league. That long reach, the things that he's done in the playoffs against really strong opponents this year, last year, and the previous year. Victor Hedman, like, Nathan MacKinnon is an absolute monster. He's a beast. But Victor Hedman, and Cale Makar is getting all the respect. Let's bring up the Conn Smythe odds here, if you have them there, Tyler. Like, Cale Makar is the favorite to win the Conn Smythe. And he's going to be talked about at length here in this series. But I'm not saying that Hedman's going to win the Conn Smythe, but let's be real what Hedman can bring to the table defensively. I think if you feel like the Lightning are going to win, you jump on Vasilevskiy. We talked about Tampa and Dangle Bazzelli at 5-1 when they were down 2-1 against the Rangers. That was the time to jump in. Vasilevskiy was like 9-1 to win the Vezina. If you feel like the Lightning are going to win the series, you jump on Vasilevskiy, because that's one thing that the Avs as well. And again, we only got about 30 more seconds here to dive into this. I want to wrap up with Seahawks stuff. But the Avs' weakness is in goal. It really is in goal. And Tampa has the edge there. They have the edge. Nashville didn't have UC Saros. Colorado made easy work, right? They were going up against third string goalie in Nashville. And back and forth with Huso and Binnington, didn't have the answer. Mike Smith, let's be real. Colorado's going to be tested. They're going to be tested by the champs, be tested by a shutdown defenseman of Victor Hedman. and probably the best goalie we've seen in this generation with Andrei Vasilevskiy as well. We're going to dive deeper into it tomorrow. One prop that I do like right now is Andrei Palat over 1.5 goals at plus 140 over at DraftKings. He's been hot. He's on that top line. He's not going to get removed from that top line. I think he has at least 2 goals in this series against Darcy Kuemper. That's it for now. We'll dive into it a little bit more, but I do have the lean with the Avs, but I do think this series goes 7. We're going to talk Seahawks for like a couple minutes here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. This is going to be the weakest NFL preview of all time, but it's the weakest team, I believe, in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks, as we wrap up the NFC West, we'll dive into them deeper with a beat reporter as we get closer to the season. But you see the win total of 5.5. I take the under there. They have no shot to win the West. They have no shot to win the NFC. They have no shot to win the Super Bowl, and that's just the way it is, honestly. Like 7-10 last year, life begins without Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner for the first time since 2012. For the first time, a quarterback under center not named Russell Wilson. They flipped him to Denver. You know all about it. To the Broncos, 2 firsts, 2 seconds, a fifth. Noah Fant, Drew Locke, Shelby Harris. A lot of pieces going the other way. Seattle had 3 picks 2 years ago in the NFL draft. They had 9 this past year. They're clearly on the rebuild. I wouldn't be shocked if DK Metcalf was flipped or Tyler Lockett flipped as well. As we transition over to some of their weapons, these are where these guys are going in NFFC drafts. You see Drew Locke, and I'm not even sold that he's going to be the quarterback. I think it could be Geno Smith. I think he did okay last year. We had a little bit of a glimpse of what life would be like without Russell Wilson last year, and it was not good. It was not pretty at all. DK Metcalf was okay, actually. You could argue that he was maybe a little bit better last year with Geno Smith and Russell Wilson, who dealt with a finger injury and missed some time. But you see Kenneth Walker there, RB26, they drafted early last year, or this past draft. Rashad Penny, RB33. Chris Carson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Noah Fant. Chris Carson, I think the writing is on the wall with him. I believe that he is done dealing with a neck injury. And also, like, they just drafted Walker fairly early, so I think that tells you all you need to know about Chris Carson's health. Rashad Penny, he hasn't been healthy over the past few years. That tells you a little bit how they feel about Rashad Penny as well. I mean, phenomenal. He probably won you fantasy football championships last year. He was really good down the stretch. I think I have a little bit of interest in Walker because I do believe this will be a run first team. They're going to run the rock a lot, but just having a running back linked to a bottom five offense is not ideal. But I do believe it's only a matter of time before he's the lead dog over Penny. And like I said, Penny just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So I think Walker could fall into like 20 touches a game. But again, the offense is not great. I think if he's your RB3, you're loving it. But to draft him inside the top 75, potentially as your RB2, I don't think it's ideal. That's it for now. Like I said, we'll dive into Seattle a little bit later on, when the season gets closer, but I'm not in on Lockett. I think Lockett suffers the most not having an accurate quarterback like Russell Wilson. Drew Locke, you look at some of the numbers, he wasn't able to, like, just, oh my goodness, right? Sutton and Judy, these guys weren't able to catch anything that Drew Locke threw their way. And if you think Locke is just going to straight up throw the ball a ton, I mean, they wouldn't let Russell Wilson cook in Seattle. So you know that they're going to run the rock a lot in Seattle as well. Seahawks, worst team in football. I say 4 wins. Don't even need to go over their schedule. 4 wins. Tops. We're out of here. Thanks to Mayo. More golf tomorrow. More golf tomorrow. Lots more goodness here on Mean Streaks. Thanks for taking the time to hang out and chat to you then. Cheers.